For many children of immigrants, going back to the country of their parents is a trip that they might make multiple times in their lives, starting from the time that they're a newborn up until they're adults. For some, though, that trip is a once-in-a-lifetime kind of experience. Natalie Morales, the daughter of Cuban refugees, didn't make that trip until she was in her late 20s. You might have seen the Cuban-American actress in shows like Parks and Recreation.
Mom? I thought that was you. What are you doing here?
Oh,
you're not gonna murder me, are you?
Or on Girls from HBO.
You were so great.
Gracias, amor.
And you added some.
Or in the recent film The Battle of the Sexes, where she starred alongside Emma Stone and Steve Carell.
Hello?
Eureka, Billie Jean!
It's Bobby Riggs.
And while she isn't necessarily portraying Cuban characters on screen, her Cuban-American identity is front and center in her life. And now Natalie joins us in our studio. When people ask you to introduce yourself, what do you say?
I'm Natalie Morales.
I'm an actor. I'm a director.
I don't know. I always find it odd that people need to introduce themselves by what they do for a living. But so I just usually say my name. But if we're going by what I do for a living, I would say I'm an actor, director, writer.
You know, what was your experience as a little girl? Was it very Cuban?
I would say it was like 70% Cuban, 10% other Latino ethnicities. Like, that was the breakdown.
So when you were growing up outside of Miami, did you call yourself a minority? Were
no,
you?
No, I wasn't. That's actually a really interesting point, is that I was a majority. The white people in my school were the minority, and we made fun of them because they didn't speak Spanish. I was just talking about this the other day, how that related to me feeling growing up. Is I didn't feel like a minority. So when I watched TV, when I watched Full House, or when I watched all these other TV shows growing up and all the characters were white, I felt like them because they were the majority where they lived. And I didn't feel any differently than they did. You know, I mean, I still didn't see any representation as far as I was concerned, which would have probably felt better. But I just related to them because that's all they saw. I saw, and they were the majority where they were. And so was I.
So where along that path were you like, yeah, I want to be an actor. I want to be on television. I'll be in film. Like, was there a conscious decision there along the lines?
That came much later. I discovered I was always sort of a showman, as I think most Cubans are. I feel like...
No. Wait, what?
Yeah. I think that happened in high school. I took a drama class by chance, and most people were just like, that's not a thing you do. That doesn't happen to people like us. You don't just become, an actor.
You said the term people like us.
Yeah.
Who are people like you?
People like us, I mean, people from really low-income families, or people from, raised by a single mom, or people who don't have money and are in a school in Miami and no one cares about them. You know what I mean? Like, it's not I wasn't given a lot of opportunities as a lot of kids that grew up like I did, weren't. So I just didn't think it was a thing.
What I love about you, Natalie, is that you really enjoy talking about these very deep and more intimate parts of your life and how you see the world. And I'm just wondering if that was part of what was motivating you. I mean, what was it that was telling you, yeah, go for it?
I honestly think it came from my grandfather. My grandfather was a political prisoner, as nearly everyone's grandfather in Miami was. my whole life, he had a boat in the backyard that everyone's grandfather in Miami did, he would meet up with his little old man friends and they would talk about going back to Cuba and killing Fidel. Like, that was like the thing. And that was not uncommon in Miami, but my grandfather had a lot of guts and did a lot of things for his family and his friends. While he would have been protective and probably not understood a lot about me and about today's culture, he died when I was 14. I think he would have been really proud that I was bold. I mean, he was somewhat artistic as well. I don't come from a family of showmen or artists, but my grandfather, one of my favorite things that he would do is he would sing around the house. Like, he'd sit in his little lazy boy chair in the afternoon, and the sun would be just beaming in through the window, and the house would be quiet, and I'd be in my room doing homework or something, and I'd hear him singing, and I'd go and I'd sneak out and I'd just watch him sing some old Cuban song, and he'd sit there with his eyes closed in his chair and just sing it. And he had this really beautiful voice. And I always wondered if he had, like, dreams of singing at some point. It seemed like it was just something he did every afternoon,
I really found it fascinating that your mom, who had not been back to the island for 50 years, mm-hmm. decides to go back.
It was really hard for her.
And she decides to take you.
Yeah.
So is it from her? She's the one who makes the decision to go back? Or was it like, mommy, yo quiero ir? How did that happen?
Well, my grandfather, before he died, swore to never go back, you know, until Castro's were out of power, because every cent of tourism money or anything like that went to that government. And he fought to, you know, to overthrow that. And how could he contribute? Right. And so he really asked my mom not to. He asked everybody not to go. And so we were all very conflicted about that for years and years and years. But we still have family over there. And my mom's aunt, my grandmother's sister, was pretty sick. And she decided in the end that it was more important to see family than anything else. You know, it was more important to spend time with that family because they're far away and she doesn't know when she's going to see her next. And she, you know, and so that's what we decided. And I, you know, had always wanted to go with her. I always tell people when they ask me, it was very odd for me because it felt very familiar. I felt insanely familiar. It was like, the best way I can explain it is as if someone read you Harry Potter your whole life growing up. And sometimes there's like drawings or pictures, but not many. But they read it to you. So you had this very vivid imagination of it. And then suddenly you were in Hogwarts. Like just you were just put there. It was like that. And so it was very odd for me because it was familiar. And you know, the local Cubans thought I was Cuban and talked to me like I was one. And I didn't know what was going on. You know, I didn't know where they were. They'd ask me about something that they thought I would know and I didn't. It was a very interesting and odd experience, but it was really good for me and my mom as a bonding experience together, and I think it was really good for my mom in general. You know, she hadn't seen her cousins in 50 years. We went to the house where she grew up. It was crazy.
And you wrote an article for Flood magazine with this title, "Please Stop Saying You Want to Go to Cuba Before It's Ruined," and that was in quotes. Why?
I felt like, if anything, what this career has afforded me is a little bit of a voice for people that might not necessarily have one. And I felt like this was this constant discussion that I would hear, especially when I would tell people I was Cuban, this fetishizing of this place that is just, it's poverty. For people, I can't tell you how many times I've heard, like, oh, I want to go to Cuba before, like, they put a Starbucks in there. And I'm like, why do you get a Starbucks and the Cuban people don't get a Starbucks? They're not your Instagram backdrop. You know, it's this question of appropriation of, like, would you still want to visit a place if you couldn't take a photo there? You know, what's it about for you? And so I'm not necessarily discouraging people from visiting Cuba because I don't want to do that. And I think it's important to travel places, but they now are just starting to get access to internet. They don't have rights. So for people to go to a country like this and party and take pictures with cigars and with the old, you know, with the old cars and just be like, so cool, and not actually learn about it, it's a shame to me.
You actually wrote, the old cars are not kitschy. They're not a choice. It's all they have. The old buildings are not preserved. Their balconies are falling and killing people all the time. Those very young, young girls prostituting themselves are not doing it because they can't get enough of old Canadian men, but because that pays more than being a doctor does. So, I mean, you're saying if you're going to go to Cuba, you better open up your eyes. There's another narrative.
Yeah.
And it's a narrative that is not being presented to you.
Yeah, I absolutely not. I mean, it was really annoying. And I just wanted to sort of educate people on just the idea of educating themselves. That's it.
I mean, there are a lot of very well-known Cuban people in the media, in the music world, and they don't necessarily jump headfirst into talking politics. And yet you, Natalie, are like, yeah, gonna let you know. Why?
I don't know. I don't really live with a lot of fear. I try not to. My mom was really scared when I put that article out. She was like, you don't know. And I mean, she cried. She was terrified. It shows me how ignorant I am to her experience, because she was like, somebody can come find you and kill you. Like, you talked badly about the government and it's not going to be good. And she really believed that that could happen. I don't believe that that could happen. But she was really scared. She's very, very scared. And I think maybe that might be a reason why other people don't talk about it.
So what are you doing now? Like, what is Natalie Morales doing right now? Where is your head at?
I mean, I've been directing for a while now, but I'm moving into writing and directing my own stuff. So I'm just creating projects in that arena.
And every day you wake up, you have control of your life. You make decisions about your own life. You're not working for the man.
Well, that's not true. I wish
You're
I wasn't working for
the man.
I wish I wasn't working for the man. I feel like we all are, you know. I am lucky enough and I'm also cheap enough that I have been able to save money so that I can do the things that I want to do and the things that I feel are important for me to do.
Like a good immigrant.
Yeah, exactly.
Natalie Morales, thank you so much for joining us on Latino USA.
Thank you.
Natalie Morales is a Cuban-American actress who was recently in the film Battle of the Sexes.